When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Slam D, hey, you already know what's up. What's that, another home run? But you know the job ain't done till we hold that trophy up. Hey.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome, episode 585 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fadden with you here. It is April 10th, 2024, and the San Diego Padres have won their first series of 2024. Finally, it took a little bit too long. Obviously, they couldn't win that Dodgers Soul Series unless they won both games, and they lost the first one, so couldn't do that. Then the Giants series, that was a four-gamer as well, split that. Then came to town, I'm trying to remember all this correctly in order. Then the St. Louis Cardinals, wasn't able to do that. Then went to San Francisco, disappointing series there. Overall, disappointing, like start to the season overall as well. And then here, I mean, should they have won this series? They obviously lost yesterday, should have lost yesterday, and they should have lost game one. I mean, we can praise the at-bats and the fight, but when you're the Cubs and you have an 8-0 lead, you should win that game. So maybe I'm starting this out, making it seem like I'm going to be all glass half empty in this show. And I'm going to try not to, but it is easy for those that want to do that to say, I mean, they shouldn't have even won this series. So like, I'm not feeling that great about this team, but there are positives. I mean, Jurickson Profar today was absolutely amazing. He homers, he has a 3-hit day, his first since September of last year. I believe when he was with the Padres was when he had that 3-hit day. Cronenworth with the home run. He shot another one the opposite way as well. Tatis had an RBI single. Azokar had an RBI single. Merrill was on base a bunch. I believe Manny, he had a multi-hit day today as well. 2 for 5, scored 2 runs. Did strike out 3 other times, but hey, I'm still seeing a little bit of progress there for Manny, so that's good. Campy, I don't think he was trying to ground out to shortstop in that situation that he did, but hey, it was okay. The situation called for a lazy grounder like that. It was going to score a run. Merrill did the same thing, I believe, earlier in the game as well. And Dylan Cease, my goodness. What a start that he had, huh? I know he gave up the home run, which that is like an earned run, but it doesn't count as an earned run because Ha-Seon Kim made an error with two outs in the inning before that, which kept the inning going, and that was what even allowed that at-bat to happen. Ha-Seon Kim, let's hit on him here first for a little bit. Offensively, obviously, has not gotten off to the best start. And then defensively, he's kicking balls, and sometimes he's making not-so-great throws. So this is not the Ha-Seon Kim that we're used to. Is he pressing? Is he realizing, man, I'm not myself offensively. I'm not myself defensively. Maybe he's thinking, I'm not myself offensively, and he's bringing it onto the field. Maybe he's thinking everything's not going right. So just the mentality's not right. I don't know what's going on with Ha-Seon Kim. We know that he's a talented baseball player. He's only continued to get better in the big leagues since he arrived with the Padres. So I hope that this is not what we're going to be seeing the rest of the year from Ha-Seon Kim. I doubt it, but is he going to be this year's Jake Cronenworth, where it's just a down, disappointing season? That would really suck, because I think we had some good, high expectations for Ha-Seon Kim, considering it's a walk year. He keeps getting better. Shortstop this year, obviously, with Xander moving over to second base. So that would be a bummer. I know that he's not considered part of like the big three with Tatis, Bogarts, and Manny, but he is part of this Padres core in terms of not long-term guys, but guys that are important pieces if this Padres team wants to get to where they want to get, if they're going to get to where they want to get to, which is obviously the postseason. So we'll see how it develops. Now, Jake Cronenworth, talk about comeback player of the year. There might be some other guys that came back from an injury, big injury, season-ending injury, maybe some more notable players, star players that end up winning that award, like Rhys Hoskins or Edwin Diaz with the Mets, or someone that I'm not thinking about right now. But for Jake got hurt at the end of last year. He's coming off of a terrible season. I think he would say that for his standards last year. And this year, he is one of the Padres' best players. I haven't looked at the stats of other first basemen around Major League Baseball, but I assume that he is one of the best first basemen, period, in all of baseball right now. When you have an 883 OPS and you're hitting 304, and it's not like he has no home runs, him in the three spot, Mike Schilt was looking like a genius. Now, because of the lefty situation, where else were you going to hit Jake Cronenworth? But imagine if Crony was hitting third and he was hitting like last year and he was struggling. And then you have Manny struggling on top of that as your 3-4 hitters. And you have Bogarts with a 619 OPS. That's three or four there of your top four. That would be trouble. And so I just cannot express, it's not just Crony, but Profar as well. Him with an OPS over 1,000 so far to start this year. He might be hearing the talk about Tommy Pham. He says, shut up. Shut up. I am here. You don't need to go sign Tommy Pham. I am your starting left fielder. I deserve to be in the middle of this lineup. What a day he had. And Dylan Cease. 6 innings, no earned runs today, 7 punch outs. Yeah, he gave up that home run, but it shouldn't have even gotten to that point. Ha-Seon Kim made that error, his third error on the year. I wonder how long it took him last year to get to 3 errors. Maybe someone had a stout out on that on social media earlier today. I just didn't see it. But yeah, we really hope that this thing can turn around there. Runners in scoring position today for the Padres, 4-for-12, not the best. But when you come through with 2 home runs, Profar and Crony, you have some big hits. Profar was one of those. Crony, Tatis, Azokar, ground balls to get guys in, doing whatever it takes to win. You don't have to go 8-for-12 with runners in scoring position, you know? So overall, I'm happy that they won the series, but I don't think it was the most encouraging series win. Because sure, game one, I love the fight, and sure, they did end up scoring 9 runs in the game, but there were some Cubs relievers that weren't available for that game, and you shouldn't be getting down 8-0 in the first place with Yu Darvish on the mound. You know, Yu Darvish is one of your aces, one of your top guys in this rotation. Started the home opener, started Seoul Series opening day. He needs to be better. And I believe right now, the majority of his outings have been discouraging. And then Joe Musgrove comes out in game two. Padres lose that one 5-1 last night. He goes four innings, allows four earned runs, three walk. I know it really spiraled when Colek came in. He gave up the grand slam, right? But some of those runners were Musgrove's runners. Musgrove allowed the home run to Yan Gomes. Yan Gomes, just a freaking Padres killer. That ball was right over the middle of the plate, I believe, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, with Musgrove and Darvish, I think there's a little bit of concern there. But at the same time, I do want to give them the benefit of the doubt looking at their track records. But what if those guys aren't going to be the guys that we need them to be this year? Dylan Cease, that's a big load on him. That's a big load on Michael King. And then you get what you can get out. I mean, we shouldn't be relying on the fifth starter to be making up for Musgrove and Darvish. Like, those guys need to be better. Simple as that. So hopefully Joe could be a little bit better location-wise. Definitely, the Darvish, was it the second inning? How long of a second inning that was? He threw over 40 pitches, I think, in that second inning the other night. Location-wise, hopefully that's what the issue is. Now, is it mechanics? Is it landing spot? Is it? I think Michael King, he made an adjustment where when he was making his way down the mound, I forget which start, last start maybe? Before his last start, I think he made an adjustment. And his left elbow, he wanted it, I think, right under Campy, right under Campy's glove or at Campy's glove, something regarding his left elbow going towards at Campy. And so he made that adjustment, and he ended up benefiting from that. So I don't know if it's some sort of adjustment like that. But yeah, that needs to be better. You could look at this glass half full that, you know, the Padres, they scored 10 runs one game. They scored 9 runs another game. That's great. 19 runs worth of offense in 2 games. And in this series, they ended up scoring 20 runs. He scored 20 runs in a 3-game set. I would think that you sweep the series. But obviously, game one was wild. And they scored 1 run, 4 hits in game 2 of this series. So, again, it's like deja vu, I feel like. Just the inconsistency that I'm seeing of this lineup. You know, I'm not super convinced that this lineup is going to be... I think that they could make the postseason. I still would like another bat. But right now, I'm not convinced that this is a lineup that's going to go win the World Series. Crazier things have happened. I don't think people were saying that about the Arizona Diamondbacks. And it's April 10th, so you're probably like, Ben, stop. Why are we even talking about the World Series? Like, why even talk about the postseason right now? It's April 10th. Let's just worry about the Dodgers. Let's worry about winning every day, not things that we can't control 6 months down the road, right? Whatever, however many months down the road. But that's just where I think some fans' minds, including mine sometimes, I'll admit to that, it goes to is like when I see the inconsistency, how convincing is that you're going to be able to go win a bunch of postseason series when you're inconsistent like that? And we saw the inconsistency of the Padres offense last year, and look where it got them. It got them on the couch when it mattered the most come postseason time. Bullpen wise, I do want to hit on that. Colek, it was a Rule 5 guy, so if they take him off the roster, he has to be placed on waivers, I believe, offer him back to the team that he was on. Is it worth it to lose Colek to bring up Jeremiah Estrada, who may just end up pitching just like Colek? I would be fine with that. I don't have an attachment to Steven Colek. I just don't. It feels like he's been pitching in a lot of important situations, maybe too many important situations. But maybe that's because Schilt and Niebla don't believe that Brito should be in those big, important situations. I think he's blown 3 opportunities this year. Cosgrove, I would put him in more important opportunities because I just believe in him. I've seen the sample size, especially him in a Padres uniform. Sure, a lot of games left. 7 games for Colek, 5.87 ERA, 7 2/3 innings, a 1.3 whip. I'm not in love with Steven Kolek. Maybe there's someone that can prove me wrong on that and be like, Ben, you're dumb. But I would be okay with seeing Jeremiah Estrada up here. Like, what is he going to be way worse than Steven Kolek? Do they need Steven? The Padres would probably say, hey, with Kolek, it's an additional arm. Estrada can be depth. Now, if we have Kolek put him on waivers and someone picks him up, that's one less arm we have. And Estrada isn't depth anymore. He is someone that needs to pitch well in the bullpen. And if that doesn't happen, then what's going to happen? Who are they going to go to? Adrian Morejon is in El Paso right now. So maybe that's who they would go to after Estrada. I don't know. But Kolek, I'm just not, I guess my point is I'm not attached. I'm not super attached to him. All right. Quick break, and then I'll get into some more of my thoughts that I have on this series, and then to the chat. Check out Gaglione Bros' famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries on Friars Road. You can visit their website, gaglionebros.com, for their entire menu and enjoy their cheesesteaks and fries at Petco Park and Snapdragon Stadium as well. All right, so earlier in the series, Graham Pauly, he was sent down. Brent Sullivan was... Did I say Brent? Brett Sullivan was called up, and he has been raking in the minors. He had a 5-hit game the other day. And Graham Pauly, like I said on my reaction the other night to this news, with Pauly, we don't know what his ceiling is. With Sullivan, I feel like they know that, okay, solid backup catcher. If you need him, there's some talent there, but probably not an everyday guy. We know that we want Luis Camposano catching every day. It's a left-handed bat. Sullivan, he can play first if you need him to. I think he could play corner outfield if you need him to as well. So let's have him come up to the big leagues, be the last bench guy. And with Pauly, let's give him consistent playing time. Now, is El Paso the best spot to have consistent playing time? Should he be in Double-A? I don't know. El Paso, it can be fluky. I mean, Brett Sullivan, it seemed like he was some of the summaries of El Paso's games that I was reading. It seemed like he was Barry Bonds over there. So Pauly could go rake in El Paso. I would rather him rake in El Paso. He's at least getting at bats than him sit on the bench and hit, you know, under 200 or whatever it was with 15 at bats. Like, that's like no sample size. And Kevin Acey, I was reading his, maybe it was his Padres Daily, or it was one of his pieces in the UT. And it was the Padres were always planning on sending Pauly down, the latest being when Manny went back to third. Manny may be back at third by the end of the month. Who knows? I think it's positive news that he is throwing to first base now. So that's great. He was throwing to second, not making the throws to first. He was just fielding balls at third base is what I believe. I'm not there to see that pregame work. So it seems like there's positive signs there, but he did admit that he's not going to be 100% until 2025. Now, as I tried to point out on social media to some fans, you can be not 100% and still throw to first base, especially when you're Manny Machado and you have one of the best arms in baseball, right? Especially among third basemen. So I think the point he was making there was I am not going to feel super amazing until next year. I can do things, but I'm not going to be fully ready or fully ready to like go like as maybe going into 2022, let's say. I'm not going to be that version of myself until 2025. But I'd still rather have 80% Manny Machado in the lineup than have, I don't know, Tyler Wade be at third base and your DH be not Manny. Because I'm saying, like, I'd rather have 80% Manny than have Tyler Wade be at third base and then I guess Graham Pauly play him be the DH every day. While I wanted Graham to get every day at bats at the big league level to see what he could give, because he's a long-term possibility. Tyler Wade is not. I wanted to see that. I'd rather have Manny in that combination of third base DH guys. If he has to DH the whole year, you could move Kim over to third, have Bogarts go back to short, have Crony be at, or excuse me, have Arise play second or have Crony play second and have Arise play first. That could be. You could have Iggy play. I think he could play second a little bit. You could have him play second if you want to improve third base. You could bring Pauly up and have him play every day. If Mike Schilt's such a believer in Tyler Wade, you could have him play third most days and have Iggy be the third baseman when a lefty's on the mound. You know, I want Manny in the lineup as long as, because he did, Kevin, he also wrote that Manny's not feeling the pain offensively. It's defensively, it's throwing. So as long as that's still the case, then I want Manny in the lineup because Manny can give you 20-plus home runs. He can give you 25, 30 home runs. He's a star player on this team. I want him in the lineup. Late last year, his offense was being effective. I mean, I am not going to move off that opinion that his offense, maybe he had quotes. I forget if he had quotes about if his offense was being affected by that, but by the tennis elbow. But let's remember, it was so bad last year that he would DH and then he wouldn't be able to DH the next day. He'd take a day off and then DH again. And it, like, he wasn't able to DH every day. So if it gets to that, then yeah, I don't want that to happen. But as long as he's okay, then offensively to swing the bat, then we want Manny Machado in this lineup, right? So yeah, Pauly, getting back to Pauly, I'm not surprised by it. I like the move. If he wasn't going to get at bats every day in the big leagues, and that's the case, he was not going to get every day at bats. He was not getting every day at bats. So go down to the minor leagues, get those consistent at bats, be ready, stay ready, develop, and hopefully he can get consistent playing time when he does come up to the big leagues next. Or maybe he's going to be involved in a trade for Luis Arraez or something. I don't know. Grant Pauly, he's been on the show before, so I'm obviously rooting for the guy. I want to see what he can give at the big league level. And we didn't really get to see that. So I'm fine with the move, again, because he just wasn't going to get that playing time. Reminder about some of the great partners of the show, Breaking Tea, Padres, Aztecs, Wave shirts, and sweatshirts. Underdog Fantasy, I believe the picks that I gave on my pregame thoughts today, I nailed those. So you're welcome for anyone that chose to take my advice and do that selection on Underdog Fantasy. But code Talking Friars, 100% deposit match up to $100. SeatGeek, same code, Talking Friars, $20 off your order, your first order there when you use that email. I believe on SeatGeek, they have the green and the red, so they'll tell you if it's a good value. And yes, buy that, or red, maybe try another seat. Maybe not the best value that you're getting there. So make sure to check them out. I will go to the chat, but I see John is on here and wants to give some thoughts, obviously, on the state of this Padres team. So what's up, John? Hopefully you're doing well.
Oh, you know, I'm a lot better now that they have finally won a series. So,
yeah.
You know. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to, I've made a New Year's resolution, a new season resolution to myself, and I hopefully other Padres fans have followed it, is I'm not going to let nine guys on a baseball field ruin my day as much as it did last season and how frustrating that was, I think. But a lot of positive signs, I think, especially in the offense, which is great. For sure, we want to see a little more consistency in terms of the bats. Yep. And especially in those, you know, two-run games or something like that, you know, it would be nice to have some reliability in the bullpen. And I think that Matsui's a good example. De Los Santos or Wendy Peralta as well. It's definitely good signs in the bullpen. But, of course, once you kind of get into those series where we've kind of used up our big guys, then it's kind of up in the air for sure. But it is good to see a win. I mean, it's good to see a series win, finally, you know? And I think it's good to know that the Padres are starting off in a good foot, I feel like, overall, than, say, other teams who have had much bigger aspirations in the past, I guess. I mean, if you look around the league, obviously, I don't want to compare ourselves to other teams, but we're in a good spot, you know? And we're in a better spot than other teams, you know? But again, it's early, so it's a long season. So we're on this roller coaster together.
Yeah, what's that saying? You are what your record says you are. I mean, that's sometimes you can look at it and be like, I don't know. But with this Padres team, 7-8, that's who they are. They're like a 500 team. Some days good with the offense, sometimes really good, sometimes not so great and underwhelming. And sometimes the starting pitching has been really good, like Dylan Cease. And that whole rotation, second time through, I think. And some days, not so great with Darvish, Musgrove, not great with the control and their starts this time through. We'll see what happens with Michael King. We'll see what happens with Waldron against the Dodgers coming up on Friday and Saturday. And then we got Sunday Night Baseball on Sunday. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of complaints on social media about the broadcast there. But I mean, yeah, just 7-8, it's not the worst. They're not
the worst.
They're not like, I think the Twins they've been underwhelming this year.
Seattle.
Seattle. Yep, that's another. Yep. Seattle. Definitely. That's it. I think those teams have been a little bit underwhelming. They're not in that spot, but we're also in the NL West. And I think the National League is deeper than the AL. So the Twins they're in the AL Central. They can go win the division, where if the Padres got off to that start, fans still don't. I don't think we should be thinking about the division. But you get off to a 4-8 start in this division, and the Dodgers are being the Dodgers pretty much, you're not going to feel great at all. So right now, I've been happy about some things. I've been disappointed about some things. I was disappointed on Monday, and then that thing changed. Did you stay up for that whole game and your reaction to that big comeback?
So actually, that's a funny story. I did stay up for the entire game because I hadn't seen it all day and my girlfriend was in the other room and I was just doing homework and stuff like that. And she had her cat with me and I literally had the cat on my lap when Fernando Tatis hit that home run. And I scared the bejeebus out of the cat. No. And the cat, I tell you, did not want to talk to me or like even look at me for the rest of the night because I freaked it out so much. But to say it was electric is definitely an understatement for sure. I think it bodes well that, again, like the offense is having some sort of consistency. Obviously, with Kim and Manny, it's definitely a concern for sure. I would say Kim on a bigger scale because, again, like his fielding hasn't been that well and he's just not playing like the guy we are used to. You know, we thought at least this year, I mean, last year, obviously he took a big step up in terms of his offense, in terms of his fielding abilities and stuff like that. But this year, it just seems like so far, and again, it's a small sample size it just doesn't seem like he's playing like himself. I think yesterday or whatever, he got like 3 strikeouts and stuff like that. It's just, again, he's not really playing like himself. And Manny, there is that excuse of, you know, he's going through he's post-surgery and, you know, obviously you're not playing 100% in that regards or whatever. But it does bode some confidence that if this offense is consistent and these bottom of the order guys are really kind of hitting, then we're in a better position, I'd say, as a team overall than most. And it's okay if Xander Bogaerts or Tatis or Manny Machado has a bad day or something like that, then there's somebody else in the lineup that can really kind of pick them up. And so that to me kind of bodes a little bit of confidence. But yeah, again, in terms of the starting rotation, Musgrove and Darvish, we'll see. We'll see what their season kind of holds for. But again, it's a little concerning, I'll say. But
yeah, I mean, again, with Musgrove, I think I've said this before earlier this season, how last year and this year, it's different circumstances. Last year, there was the toe thing, and then there was the foot thing in Mexico running on the turf. So it took him some time to get away from those injuries and start to feel better, where this year, it feels like it's more mechanical. I don't want to speak – like, he knows him. Ruben knows Joe way better than I do. But it just feels like it's a little bit out of sync. So maybe there's a little bit more of a concern with that because it's not like we can just lie back on, the injury thing. But I can also say, well, last year it seemed like he was compensating a little bit because of the injuries. So that maybe contributed to the slow start here. I can be more optimistic about it because he is healthy and it's just, he has to get out of whatever he's in right now. He has to get back in sync, and maybe that's a in-between start thing. And he could look like Dylan Cease again, like Dylan Cease tonight or Michael King last outing, make an adjustment and he can be good and we're not going to be worried about it. Same thing goes with Darvish. Like I trust those guys. I don't question, oh, are they going to just be okay with what they're doing? No, they're going to work their butt off to find a way to be better because that's who they are. They care about winning. So that's, you know, fans, I think some fans are going to be concerned about it. I think it's okay to be a little bit concerned, but I still want to see, you know, 3-4 starts of this before I get worried. Because if you look at Musgrove, Darvish, their last outing before this was good. The outing before that, I believe, was not that great. So it's kind of like the offense a little bit inconsistency. If there's a string of outings where it's okay, it's not improving, then yeah, my concern level is going to be a little bit higher.
Yeah, and I mean, we all know, again, Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish's heart are in the right place in terms of their performance abilities on the field. And we know that at the very least, they can give us some quality, not a quality start all the time, I guess, but more of, you know, 3-4 solid innings or whatever that we can kind of, I guess, pull from and play a bullpen game or something like that. But again, we will see in terms of how they are kind of performing overall. And I always say, you know, I know everyone hates the word it's early, but it is early. And obviously we need wins. There's no doubt about that. Every game counts just as much as today and tomorrow and even in September. But I think for fans, I would say, look at their record by the end of April. And then we can get, a full assessment on where this team's direction is headed. And I guess in terms of their identity as well, because you know everyone's been having, by that time, we will have faced some quality teams. We've played a few road trips. And I think the demand of the season is kind of caught up on these guys by the end of April, so much so that we have a better picture on how this lineup is going to shake out as the year progresses. And, you know, if injuries kind of come up and everything like that, especially with starters, I mean, it's a kind of an inevitability that some starter or somebody will have an injury at some point. And I think with Darvish and Musgrove, we really shouldn't be judging them again on their, three starts so far at this point. I mean, look at Blake Snell. You know, he had a terrible first outing as the Giants, and we all know Blake Snell. Every Padre fan knows Blake Snell as a second half kind of guy. So, you know, again, we will have to, it's a wait and see kind of game. So long as that offense is consistent, then the pitching is less of a concern, I would say, overall.
Offensively, I'm seeing better signs than last year. Like last year, obviously they didn't have like a 8-0 behind comeback, but like I'm talking about situational.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And I feel like sometimes us fans, we can be like, good situational baseball today from Campy on the ground ball to shortstop. Was he really trying to hit a ground ball to shortstop? Probably not. No. But I'm just talking about like results wise. All I care about is what the results are. And the result is, hey, that resulted in a run. Jackson Merrill's ground ball. Hey, it resulted in a run. Getting the ball in the air. Tatis late in the game. Wasn't the prettiest single or whatever it was, but it got the job done. Little things like that. Not everything has to be home runs. Now, Profar Cronenworth, that was great. But like Profar, sure, that ball was outside, and so I wasn't really expecting him to pull it into the right center gap as a lefty in that plate appearance. But putting the ball in play right into the gap, great. You know, like doing those things, sure, not, I don't think it was needed for him to be aggressive getting thrown out at third there, but it feels like they're doing the little things a little bit better. And it's April 10th, like that could change when we talk on May 10th. But as of now, I'm encouraged by that. The runners in scoring position numbers are better. Now, look, that's like, well, of course they're better. I mean, last year, that's never going to happen again with this Padres team. You wouldn't. I sure hope it does not happen.
Famous last words. Famous last words.
Yeah, let's knock on wood then.
Yeah, someone timestamp that.
Yeah,
exactly. Mark it down.
Yeah. But yeah, just I'm seeing better overall offense. I don't want to get into the whole approach thing because I'm not a hitting coach. I'm not focused on every single at bat. I'm watching all the pitches, but I'm not super dialed in like Vic Rodriguez or whatever. But I'm just encouraged more by the offense of what I'm seeing right now in comparison to last year.
Yeah. And I mean, it seems to me, I mean, maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid like I always do every year. Is they are definitely trying to shake off 2023. I think that's for sure a possible. I think that's for sure their motto, kind of coming in, and that is a whole new year. It's a whole new team. We are not the same team as last season. And in some respects, yes, they're right. But I think if they were losing, and we were, you know, if we were had a different record, a losing, a much much bigger losing record, then we would be talking about those runners in scoring position. We would be talking about the same problems of that situational hitting that we as Padre fans had to suffer through last season, watching through. So again, I think it's also for me as well, I'm seeing a lot more team dynamics, which is great to see, I think, across the board, and especially the lower half of the batting order is again shipping up, or you know, kind of showing up well, whatever, the bench pieces coming off the bench, like Eggy Rosario, you know, or even Tyler Wade, and kind of doing that switch off depending on the pitcher as well. That's good. That's a good encouraging sign. Jurickson Profar, I mean, goodness me, going to, was it a triple shy of the cycle today? I mean, this is, again, this is encouraging stuff. So again, it's a long season. I mean, I just want to say not tempered expectations, but I just, you know, I think my one big gripe about the Padre fans is that we're very moody, you know, depending on how the day goes and depending on how the series goes. It could be rainbows and sunshine one day, and then the next day it's, you know, storm clouds and burn it all to the ground. Let's bench Manny and let's call it a season, you know. And so I think, again, we have to temper expectations, but also, you know, kind of hold people's feet to the fire in a way, you know. So It's a long season. But actually, I wanted to ask, hopefully I'm not taking too much of your time, is I wanted to see, I mean, obviously with this offense kind of spurring up, whatever, I mean, is Tommy Pham even in the discussion anymore? I mean, do we need another bat such as a Brandon Belt or anything like that? Or are we just going to have to wait and see what's going to happen, I guess, with this season?
I mean, with AJ, I'm sure he's still talking with Tommy Pham's reps and Brandon Belt reps and talking with the Marlins about Luis Arraez. And he's all, because I think as GMs, they have to think of worst case scenario. And even if you're doing well, you still want to, there's always ways to improve the team. So yeah, I'd like another bat. But yeah, right now, I'm not sitting here dying for another bat. I'd like Manny to be better. I'd like him to be better. But with Cronenworth and Profar left and first, they're doing all that I want them to do right now. And Padres fans, if you're disappointed in either of those guys, I don't know where you're watching. You know, so those guys have been fantastic. I like what Jackson Merrill is doing. You know, with Monday's game, he was on base for both of those home runs. Like, let's not forget about that. Right now, the offense, I think that it's just some guys need to be better. I'm fine with the offense right now. That doesn't mean I'm going to be fine with it at the deadline. And I'm probably going to be clamoring for another bat at the deadline. I think right now it would be okay to just keep it as is. Because I think the Padres, thinking from like their mindset, they don't want to spend money on another bat. They want this group to do well and bring up Paulie when he's ready, bring up Marcy if, when he's ready, and see what those guys can do and not spend $3 million, or they're definitely not spending $6-7 million on Tommy Pham and then him perform, you know, subpar, not acceptable level. And they just wasted money on a guy that, well, they just have Profar here and you could just bring someone else up and see how they do. I think that they want Tommy to come to them if this is going to happen. And Tommy's not doing that right now, so it's just not going to happen. And yeah, for now, I would say that those conversations have been tabled in terms of like serious conversations of Tommy coming here. Part of it is Tommy's asking price, and part of it is, well, Crony's playing well, and that's for like Brandon Belt. Profar, he's playing well. Merrill, playing well. What's the rush to go spend money when we know that they don't want to spend money? What's the money? What's the rush to go spend that money on Tommy Pham right now? Like there's not that need, in my opinion.
Yeah, or even drain the farm system as well. You know, I think this year is a testament to AJ Preller's desire to always drain the farm system. So it seems to be good on his part to not necessarily, again, not give away the big guys and the big prospects and in exchange for the big, you know, Luis Arraez or some big name or whatever in the MLB right now. But we will see. We will see what happens during the trade deadline. But that, again, that is a long way. We got to get through this Dodgers series. And I say to Padres fans, temper your expectations because, I mean, the Dodgers are good. We all know that. We all know what to expect. If we win one.
We got Matt Waldron pitching one game.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's. And then what is your Darvish after that? So again, we will see. We will see. If we win one, that's great. If we win two, hey, that's awesome. So I'm stoked with that, honestly.
I love seeing Dodger fans get pissed off. So yeah, that would be great. All right, John, thanks so much, man. Have a good night.
Have a good one, man.
All right. So I will get to the chat, see what some Padres fans are talking about here on this, what's today? Wednesday night. 340 game was weird. I saw on the UT, a Padres official commented that this 340 start time allows for parents and kids to come to the game, kids to be out of school and come to the game. I mean, I get, what was the attendance today? Oh, okay. Well, it worked. There were over 39,000 and schools in session. So over 39,000 fans were at the game today. So it works. It worked. The night game, second game of this series, there were over 35,000. So there were more fans today than there were in the second game of the series. There were more fans. Today was the highest attended game of the series. On Monday, there were almost 34,000 fans. So we may be seeing a lot more 340 Wednesday day game especially when there's a day off, because there's a day off tomorrow and they're going to LA. It's not like they're going to New York or anything. So we may be seeing that. I loved Mike Schilt's quote about the start times. Let me pull that up. He said something about, we'll play in the parking lot. I don't care. Whatever time it is, Schilt said. This was in the UT. Spent a lot of years in the minor leagues, and they'd have the SpongeBob SquarePants school days. I know they'd go from 1:30 to 12:30 to 11:30. Just tell me what time to show up. We'll be there playing a in a parking lot at midnight playing baseball. I don't care. It doesn't really bother me. So, yeah, I mean, it's their jobs. They're playing Major League Baseball. I don't think they should be complaining about start times. Now, fans, I think we just wonder about it because it's like, why change it? It's Wednesday games. It seems like it's either 6:40 when they're going to be at home the next series, or I think sometimes if there's a day off. But most of the time, like Wednesday at 1:10, why push it back to 3:40? I think it's just fans being curious about it. I don't know. I don't think it's a big deal. Eddie says, what's up, Ben? Hope you're doing well, man. Happy the Padres came through today and took the series, as am I. Hopefully you are doing well too, Eddie. Mike says, I wish they wouldn't have scored so many today. Yeah, save some for the Dodger series, huh? Or like, should have scored some more runs yesterday against Ben Brown. Irie says, Campy is a shoo-in as all-star catcher. If he stays healthy, the league is starving for a catcher like him. I don't know if he's a shoo-in. I mean, all-star game, some of it's popularity, right? So you think of Will Smith of the Dodgers, he's going to be in. You think of JT Romuto. Who else? Sean Murphy. He might be hurt, though. I forget if he's hurt. There's Wilson Contreras. I'm just thinking some of the big name guys that are a bigger name than Luis Camposano. Gabriel Moreno made a little bit of a name for himself last postseason. So I don't know if it's a shoo-in. I think sometimes as fans we can get biased towards our players, and I've definitely done that about like they should be all-stars, and then you look at the other positions, the other players in that league, and it's like, maybe not so much. I'm not trying to say like Campy has sucked. Definitely not. He's been another positive. He's hitting 319, 780 OPS. I'll take that out of a guy that's hitting seventh in the order. At least that's what he was today. GMoney88 says, LFG boys, yes, this team is inconsistent, but it feels good to win. This Dodgers series will tell us a lot about whether this team is different from last year's team. Thanks for the show. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for tuning into this. I don't know how much this Dodger series is going to tell us about the team. I mean, it might tell us some. It'll tell us more than what the Seoul series did, I'll tell you that, because at that point in time, they were still kind of in spring training mode. You know, it was not Dodger Stadium. It was not Petco Park. The long flight. There was a lot of stuff going on, mainly with the Dodgers in that series, right? By the way, the whole Shohei Ohtani thing, I guess the news today was Ipe, the translator, he is the one that's going to be facing charges. And so maybe we won't hear if Shohei actually was telling the truth, or is this guy just taking one for sure? Like Shohei, I guess according to some of the stuff that I saw, Shohei was the victim of theft. And that's what his story is, but there was obviously conflicting stuff. I don't want to go 20 minutes on this, but I did see that. That was in the news. So I'm just looking up an update on it. Although when I look up Ipe Dodgers, the latest story. Oh, here we go. Ipe Mizuhara, he is said to be negotiating a guilty plea. TMZ put out Shohei Ohtani, victim in gambling scandal, interpreter will be charged. I still kind of find it hard to believe that Shohei had no idea that this guy was taking $4.5 million and What about the whole story of Shohei logged into his computer to do this? And that was the one of the versions of the story, and then it got changed. Sources from TMZ say the feds, who launched an investigation last month, have concluded Ipe was lying. Ohtani was completely in the dark over the gambling debt, and Ipe embezzled from one of Ohtani's accounts without the pitcher's knowledge. I don't know. We'll see if this is the full truth. Who knows? All right, getting back to the comments. Jay asks, are the Padres number one in runs scored in Major League Baseball? I don't think so. Does MLB.com keep track of that? Stats. Let's see. Team stats. Is there a team stats page? Yeah. Team stats, runs scored. The Padres are second in Major League Baseball in runs scored. The Dodgers are number one with 81. The Padres have 80. And that, is that updated? Yep, that's updated through 15 games. Padres are second. So they have played more games than every other team in baseball, so other than the Dodgers. The D-backs have 70. So three NL West teams. Those are the top three in runs scored, not just in the National League, but in all of Major League Baseball. Yeah, that would be a good plan. Made for TV says, easy plan, score 8+ runs. That would be ideal. Yep, one Dodger sweep away from taking over first place. Mike says Kolek would have to be offered back to the Mariners because he was a Rule 5 before the Padres could do anything with him. Yeah, I couldn't recall what team Kolek was on. So if it's the Mariners, then yeah, that's the Padres have to ask, is it worth it to lose Kolek to bring up Estrada, who would be a question mark if he's going to perform or not? And then they lose Estrada as a depth guy. He's a guy that would have to perform at the big league level. So I don't know if they're ready to do that yet. Victor asked Ben, did you go to the game on Monday dressed as a banana? No, I did not. I was not dressed as a banana. I did not go to the game on Monday. I didn't go to any of these games in this Cubs series. Irie asked, when is Ben going to throw out the first pitch? Go ask the Padres. That would be cool. I did do it, by the way. I did it when I was in Little League. It wasn't like the official first pitch. But you know those first pitches that there's multiple nowadays. It was the first pitch. I did it with like four other Little Leaguers, I think. I was representing my Little League. Shout out Orlando Little League. I did it when I was a kid. And it was, I think, on a Sunday. It's not like I threw the first pitch to a player. I think it was to one of the girls on the pod squad. So I have done it, but not like the official first pitch. I think that the Padres would limit that to people that they're affiliated with. I mean, they haven't even allowed me to get a credential, so I don't think they're going to have me go throw the first pitch. I would tell you this. I would not bounce it, though. I guarantee you I would not bounce it, though. All right, that's going to do it. Talking for Hours, episode 585. Big series coming up against the Dodgers. That's always fun. It will be more fun if the Padres can win this series. Have a great rest of your night, everybody. Hopefully you enjoyed the show, and I'll talk to you all later. Go Pods.